In this episode of Bear Podcast,
no more Alice, a new Stargate, and Nicolas Cage gets left behind.
Hottest new gay bar in Texas,
Star Trek-style teleportation,
and the penis enlargement scam.
All this and more coming up next. Bear Podcast, 521.
Hey, all you bears!
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get some scrub there to fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute,
white. That's two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Narn.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 521. And it's a Tuesday, June 3rd, 2014. We just finished eating some pizza.
Yes. Interesting concept. New pizza place here.
Okay.
Called Papa Murphy's.
It's a chain.
I'll assume it's a chain because there's three of them here, up here in your area of the woods. I didn't see where any other were. If anybody else has these in their neighborhood, let us know what they think about them. But basically, you order the pizza. They prepare everything for you. They wrap it up, and then you go home and cook it. So,
yeah.
And we got the five meat pizza, and it was pretty awesome.
That's why it's $10.
And it was like $10.
It was $10 for a large 14-inch pizza.
So it wasn't too bad. So, in fact, we saw it the other week when we were eating at one of our other regulars, and I said, hey, let's try that next week. It's only $10.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, nobody pays us to do this shit. Yet.
Not yet. But anyway.
But our PayPal account would be listed if you'd like to make a donation.
Yes, that's right. Put a link on the website for you guys. So, Ray had this idea. He came out to the...
To the
pizza preparer or the guy.
The kid, the pizza place, yeah. When I went in, I paid for the pizza, and she said, he'll give you your pizza. So I walked over this little – he's a teenager. He gave it to me and said, what's on your shirt? And I said, it's a bear that replaced Green Lantern. And he said, well, what's it all about? And I stopped for a minute, and I thought.
And then ding, ding,
and
ding.
I was like, do I say anything or just blow him off or whatever? And I was like, okay. So I looked him straight, and I said, do you know anything about gay culture? He said, no. So I was waiting for him to just walk off or not say anything. He said, oh, never mind or whatever. And I said, okay. I said, in gay culture, big, heavyset guys like me are called bears. And so it's the bear. So it's a bear. It's Green Lantern. So it's Green Lantern Bear or whatever. So he's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then went back to doing whatever. I guess his mom was working in there. I was waiting for her to come hit me with a rolling pin or something.
That was my child.
So, but... You know, I figured it's Pride Month, so, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Be out and proud. Robbie's on my ass about being more out anyhow, so.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool, though. So, Ray, teaching bear culture. That's awesome. And we got our pizza, and it's pretty good.
It's very good. So, if y'all have a Papa Murphy's in your hood, let us know what you think, and if it's been there longer, because it's just recently opened up. I mean, we went and ate at our little joint, and it was just stuck in there. So, it's like, wham, where'd that come from? So. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do some weekend updates, Ray. So, what happened to you last weekend?
Well, I had date night Friday night.
Oh, me too, actually. Yeah. Okay, so you go first.
So, when we were in San Francisco, we went and saw Grease. And, of course, in Grease, there's a scene where he's trying to...
Wait, where did you watch it again?
In San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we saw did the Grease sing-along a couple weeks ago. So, in the movie Grease... There's a scene where they're at the drive-in and he's trying to get his Mac on with Sandra D.
And he hits her boobs.
And he ends up hitting her elbow on her arm or something like
shoulder,
that.
Like shoulder, I think.
Shoulder, something shoulder. Like that. And she's like, ah.
He's trying to get the ring out.
So, yeah, trying to get the ring out.
The ring out and then hit.
Yeah, so, and I thought that was cute. And then I was like, wait a minute, you know, Houston has a couple of drive-ins that are still open and working. So, I looked them up and one that we went to is in Tomball, which is called Showboat. Mm-hmm. So, Friday night. On the way home from work, I stopped at Trader Joe's, of course, because we can't buy food from anywhere else. Because my partner works at Trader Joe's. Got some cheeses, some bread, some fruit, you know, some prosciutto stuff to make a little nice cheese and bread meal with the thing. Loaded it all up.
Nice.
Everything. I forgot wine though, because I'm not a wino. But we went to. I had to stop at the Exxon up in the middle of Tomball.
You bought boxed wine.
Well, no, he bought a bottle of wine.
Okay.
But, like, it's all farms and horse farms and stuff in this area. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's this one big Shell or Exxon down the street from it. And they have like a McDonald's, and then they have the gas station, and they have like a little convenience store inside of it. So they actually had pretty good wine. So I don't think it's what he paid for it at his store, but I think it's a little bit more expensive. So anyway, he got some wine. So we went to the drive-in. Patrick joined us. We picked him up at a friend's house. It was supposed to be a double date, but...
But Jerry didn't want to go.
You know how social Jerry is. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, we picked him up because, you know, I felt kind of bad for him.
He was the third wheel at the back?
Well, the third. Well, you know.
While you're making out?
Well, no, we weren't making out, so... But Patrick had had carpal tunnel surgery last week, so hadn't been able to get out. So I said, well, that's a good way. Maybe him and Jerry get out and go with us, and then Jerry didn't go. So anyway, we go to the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
It's $6 a person to get in. So we drive up, go to hand the guy money, and there's this fucking hunk of a dude, cut, muscular, probably 19, 20, 21, that range, all just like, well, hello? And then he turned around, and he had his diamond-encrusted 45 on his hip.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I know. We're in the country now. We got Mr. NRA up in here. But I was like.
So he had a gun.
Yeah. So, and I think Robbie was kind of flirting with him. I wasn't for sure. But I know Patrick was like, hey, in the bag. So, but he's a pretty cute little muscle boy. So we went through, got our spot, you know. And as soon as we drive up, it says, no outside food. And I was like, oh, shit. I said, so we just got to play it on the down low. You know, Robbie doesn't care about shit. So he's like, whatever. What are they going to do? Throw us out? It's only $6 a person. So.
Yeah. And you were there eating your cheeses.
Cheese and stuff. And so, but they had a little menu. And, you know, they make their money. They say in the little brochure they give you when you drive in how to park. You know, what. And they don't have the things that sit on the side of the car. You tune to a radio station.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, and they had two screens. They had X-Men and Godzilla playing in the back. And we were seeing Maleficent and Blended in the front.
So you saw Maleficent.
So we saw Maleficent. Hated it.
Really? It was really that bad?
Well, I'm used to the Maleficent of the Disney Sleeping Beauty.
Uh-huh.
And she was like an evil, pardon my language, mother, cunt of a witch.
Okay.
That you just love to hate her because she was just so evil. The movie was nothing like that. It was all about, man, broke my heart. I turned into a evil bitch. Then I'm not anymore. Oh, my God.
It's so, the same way I felt with Elphaba in Wicked. Because she was so goody-two-shoes there. But growing up, you always thought that the green.
Well, see, I think that's what they might have been trying to do. Trying to make her like a Wicked. You know, the Elphaba
Wicked. It's like a Wicked type.
So, and I could kind of see that. But it was just like, you know, Angelina Jolie could have been like the super uber bitch cunt. Evil witch.
She could be.
That, you know, you wanted to see her die. You wanted to see her lose and all this stuff. And it just wasn't that. So I was kind of disappointed. At first, I was okay with it because I thought, well, it's a different storytelling of the classic story. And, you know,
what was Maleficent? Anyway, I keep forgetting. She's in Little Mermaid?
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty. Yeah. That's right.
So she's the one in the Disney cartoon. She turns into the dragon at the end. The prince kills her.
Oh, okay.
So...
God, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think he has to fight her to get to wake up, to kiss Sleeping Beauty to wake her up. And if I remember, I ain't seen Sleeping Beauty in forever, but.
Yeah.
So
she's a, she was a nice witch.
Well, she was like a fairy that fell in love with a human, and then her man did her wrong, and then she was a bitch.
From that time on.
From that time on, so.
she did the
classic modern day story, really.
It's like a Taylor Swift, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of making a song, she becomes a bitch.
She becomes a bitch, yeah. Instead of writing a song about her boyfriend being ass, she becomes an evil fairy. So, but I mean, you know, it was okay. But I would like to see them to remake it and Angelina Jolie be like uber bitch cunt from hell, just evil, just pure evil. So evil that you just gotta love her.
That's the point of Maleficent. I think that's where the name also kind of derived from.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be evil. But then,
yeah, so.
I haven't seen it yet, so. Is it worth watching? Should I watch
it? I mean, go watch it. I mean, I wouldn't pay like full $15 price at a movie theater to go see it, but I'd like...
I should go to drive-in.
Drive-in or matinee, so.
Or matinee.
And of course, when you get to see Blended, because, you know, my crew at 9 o'clock, they're done. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in there snoring, so I was like, okay, time to go home.
I see.
So, but it was good. And then Sunday, I went and saw X-Men Days of Future Past.
Okay, we have to kind of talk about that, X-Men.
Okay, but so we got spoilers. So if you know, fast forward or pause it, or whatever, get through whatever you got to do. So, what did you think?
It's good. It's awesome. But the story here is Wolverine was the one who went to the past in a sense. But in the comic books, it was Bishop, right?
I can't remember. It's been a long time. I'd have to go dig the damn comic out and read it. I mean, I got it somewhere at the house.
Yeah, as far as I could remember, the one who went to the past, because it is Days of Future Past, the one who went to the past was, there's only one way, somebody has to go to the past, and it was Bishop. He's a black guy with powers to absorb
other powers.
Any kind of energy, power, lightning.
But I like the way they did it, because in theory, if Bishop would have come back, I don't think things that would have happened the way. Wolverine comes back, and he already has a history with most of the characters.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where he can build on that to get up, because, I mean, the whole thing, Xavier falling apart and all this other shit had happened.
Yeah. Well, I guess the plot made it more sense also that they have someone like Wolverine who's been alive for hundreds of years, maybe. I don't know. So it just makes sense that he could go to the past even further. Yeah. That's what I thought.
I was kind of iffy about the whole Wolverine with gray hair thing, though. That kind of bothered me a little bit.
Well, in the comic books, he did have gray hair in Days of Future Past.
Did he?
He was having a kind of a gray sideburns already. He was
because he's 120 something years old now, I think.
At that point, yeah. But I love the way Marvel did it, because if you guys watched the old X-Men movies that came out. They killed off a few characters already.
Yeah.
And then, what happened here?
I think we had a power surge.
It was a power surge.
Thank God everything operating is on battery. So, there it goes. Sharp.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're not paying for advertising, you should.
I think Murphy's. I better fix this. But what I was talking about it. Hold on. Yes, I have Hopper. Okay, I know. We'll see. Where was I? Yeah, Wolverine. It was a reboot.
Well, yeah, it rebooted. I mean, it brought all the characters that were playing the characters before back.
Yeah,
because they were all wondering how they were going to do that. And then they've already announced that the next X-Men movie is going to be Apocalypse.
Yes,
and that's probably going to be the last time you see the characters that are playing the characters as the same, because at that point, most of them are going to be too old to be playing them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think after another 5 years.
It's 2016. It's going to be in 2016.
You're going to be able to get another Wolverine out of Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Because he's almost 50-something now.
Yeah, he's so ripped still. Oh, my God.
I mean, he pumped up really for this. I mean, he was ripped. And I don't know how much of that was true, if they did some stuff or that was really all of him all the time or what. But
you know, with Wolverine, in the comic books, he's supposed to be 5 foot tall.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the original comic books, he was short.
Short and hairy and everything.
And then after later years, they moved him up where he was taller. And I think that happened somewhere in the 90s to the 2000. And then they started making the movies.
The reason why I remember that he is short is because of his adamantium bones. Adamantium
lacing. Yeah, he's supposed to be short and compact like an animal.
Yeah. And I think, it kind of stunted his growth or something like that. That's why he never grew.
Yeah.
So, but now he's just really normal sized.
Yeah. What'd you think about Trask? Because I don't remember Trask being a midget, a short person, whatever. Hey, you want to call them little people?
Oh, they used to.
Diggridge.
The Lannister.
Yeah, what's his name? Dick Diggridge or whatever he says his name is. But I thought they might make him Puck in one of the movies if they ever did the X-Factor. I mean, Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, because Puck did come in on some of the X-Men stories sometimes, so it'd be interesting.
Okay, some people are not following ours already. Probably.
Anyway.
Okay, we're still on our
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah, so we watched that. Highly recommendable. Go ahead and watch it. Did you watch it in 3D?
No, I don't know. I quit doing 3D stuff. It's just too expensive, and unless it's something like Avatar, it's
not. Or coming up soon, I think in a couple of weeks is this weekend or next weekend? How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Ah,
that you have to watch on
3D.
On 3D, really, because it was really produced for 3D. Highly recommendable because it's our friend Dean DeBlois. Yeah, who directed and wrote it? So I'm excited to see. It's got, you could tell that it's a you know, bear-oriented guy who did it because he's got lots of Vikings and bears in that in that animated series. Anyway,
one last thing on X-Men Days of Future Past. Boo Boo Stewart called me.
Who?
Boo Boo Stewart.
Who's Boo Boo Stewart?
He played the Indian guy.
The Indian guy?
Yeah, the one with, I'm trying to think what his name is. Not Thunderbird.
Thunderbird. There's another one.
Yeah, he's one for one of the future people.
Oh, he was.
He's one that could see the future and tell.
Him. I remember now. Okay.
That's Boo Boo Stewart, which he was one of the wolves in Twilight series.
Oh, that's why he would know. Ray's a big Twilight guy.
So.
So,
but he's all grown up and filled out now.
So last weekend was also kind of adventures for me and Mike. Mike and I went to a dinner, went to this restaurant in Houston called Pass and Provisions. The pass part, there are two sides of the restaurant. Pass is the one with the very, very kind of dressy place. And Provisions is kind of not so dressy. You can wear jeans and everything. But you get to sit down and, we ordered really good food. I don't know if you eat mussels. Do you like mussels?
Only on men's.
No, not that kind of mussel. Yeah, we ate mussels with chorizo on it. And we had rabbit ravioli. Oh,
that's the place the O'Donnells will go, not me.
Oh, really? Have you
eaten rabbit before? No, Robbie made this big thing with shrimp and mussels and all kind of other seafood in it last night. I had scrambled eggs.
But anyway, so it was great because... Yeah, have you tried rabbit before?
I think so, yeah.
You don't know if you ate rabbit?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, that was a long time
ago. It's only a few times
I don't think I've had it since I've been in Houston, but, you know.
Yeah, so I got to...
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah, it does taste like chicken. So, yeah, it was a date night last Friday also. And then Saturday, Mike and I just did a marathon of movies. We watched A Million Ways.
A Million Gays.
Million Ways to Die in the West, which is, you know, directed and written by... I don't know if it was written by... It was by Seth MacFarlane.
MacFarlane, yeah.
So, you know, maker of... Family Guy.
Is it worth going seeing?
In the movies, not really. But it's kind of funny. It's kind of campy. It's got Neil Patrick Harris. And it's got Charlize Theron. So.
Yeah. Is anybody naked?
No. But you get to somewhat see Neil Patrick Harris poop.
Well, all right. If you're in the scat, go watch A Million Ways to Die in the West. But Neil Patrick Harris taking a dump.
It was really gross. But, you know, it was acted and everything. But.
And are you sure it was acting?
It was acting, definitely. You would have known.
If he's a method actor, then it's all real.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No, he's not. No, he didn't do it at all. He didn't do all those things. But, yeah, it's kind of campy. It's kind of a, you know, feel-good movie and everything. It's I don't know. Just wait for it on cable or something. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good to watch.
Or go to the matinee.
Or, yeah, go to the matinee. There you go. Go to the matinee. And then Mike and I watched Godzilla.
Godzilla
again.
What'd you think?
Godzilla is, it's pretty good. I liked it, but I didn't watch it in 3D either.
Yeah, I didn't watch it in 3D because I was just like, eh.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
3D movies are like $20 here in Houston. I don't know what they are anywhere else, but I'm just like, I can't afford that no more. Mm-hmm. I'm old and on a fixed income.
Yeah, that's make it sound so bad. And also, yeah, that's pretty much what we did. And softball last weekend, lost both games. Yeah, we lost both games. But these are pretty good teams. But we fought well in the first game, and then we got killed in the second game. So, oh well. But it was fun. It was fun playing in the sun. It will be the last second. That was second to the last. Next weekend is coming. Sunday is going to be the last softball day and softball game days. You know, for this season. For Montreal Softball League.
And Maynard swore last year, I'm not going to play softball anymore. I'm not going to do it. What did he do this season, playing softball?
What's
going to happen when October rolls around and fall ball starts back?
I will play fall ball. I will always play fall ball. But, you know, when it comes to serious stuff during the regular season, it's kind of too serious. So we'll see. Anyway, okay, so. On with the topic. Here's a... topic that whipped up from somewhere. So after a fight with your significant other, how do you make up with them? How do you make up with your significant other? So should I go first?
Yes.
Okay. May go first. Tell you frankly, for the past 12 years that Mike and I have been together, we really haven't really fought a big fight that it would – you know, that it would, you know, mean us not talking or almost at the point of breaking up. No, we never did. We never did. Like 2 weeks ago, Mike and I fought, not really fought, but he got angry. Because I have come to a point now being together with Mike for 12 years and me growing old myself, I feel like old. I feel old anyway. That you kind of have to sit back and really just let things mellow down and see things in a different, more relaxed perspective. I don't get angry that easy myself. So when Mike got angry, I just have to, Mike, just take it easy. And then he admits it that he can't stay angry. We both can't stay angry for more than 5 minutes.
Oh.
So, yeah, thinking back, we really never had any really bad disagreements. And, you know, I may piss him off, he may piss me off. But then later on, we go to bed and, you know, same thing. Just really just relaxed the evening. I mean, we don't sleep angry with each other. So, just never did. So, I can't really think of a time when I had to make up with them. How do you do it? With ice cream?
Well, I'm totally different than you because I'm one of those evil old bitchy queens that get pissed off about something and then not say anything about it and see for months on it and then get pissed off and blow up. Yes.
You really collect all those?
Yes. Oh. I'm one of those bitchy evil queens. But since I've been in therapy, I've been like, you know, if something's bothering you, you need to say something. You need to communicate in the relationship. Because sitting there, if they do something and they piss you off, 9 times out of 10, they don't know they're doing it. Mm. That 1 time out of 10, they do. Ooh, that really pisses you off though. But anyway, I guess the best way to make up when you have a fight or argument or something like that, I mean, best thing is try not to get it to that point. I mean, if something's bothering you, sit down and talk about it. I mean, people are completely different, and everybody's relationship is completely different. So there's going to be different dynamics in it. I mean, in mine and Robbie's relationship, I'm the control freak that's got to have the nice little box with everything in its place. And he's like, you know, out here in the universe and like, ooh, squirrel type person. Mm-hmm. And that's usually what causes more issues in our relationship lately than anything because we're so different. And we got to figure out how to deal. Because I think the reason in the relationship, because he wants some of the things that I can offer. Mm-hmm. The groundedness where I want some of the things are outside the box, you know, being a little bit freer and one with the universe type thing. But okay. So, I mean, it depends on everyone. But, you know, that whole thing about not going to bed angry with each other, that's bullshit. Because there are many nights that we've gone to bed mad at each other. It's not that I hate him or anything, but I'm mad about something. And it's hard sometimes to get past that. It's not that I don't love him. It's not that I don't hug him or kiss him goodnight, even though sometimes I want to smother him in his sleep. But it's just that thing that some, you know, it's okay to be mad about stuff. The thing is not to let it go down that road where you're mad and you're pissed off and then you get bitter about it and stuff. Find some way to seek resolution on it. So that's the biggest thing. And that's different for everybody. So, I mean, it's no Dr. Phil answer for this one because everybody's different. Each couple's different how they handle and do stuff. But, you know, there's got to be a balance in there somewhere of give and take and being able to communicate that because, you know, you have the, you know, some of those people are big messy that had the big blow up fights in public and screaming out in the street and doing all that kind of stuff. And that stuff, they thrive on that kind of drama. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, like y'all, they don't fight that much. Everything's copacetic, you know, it's all great. And then there's people like me and Robbie, we go, everything's beautiful and all of a sudden, boom, and then it's all good again. So
you used a very rarely used word.
What?
Copacetic.
Copacetic.
Wow, that's kind of deep, right?
I know. I'm a deep bear.
You're a deep bear. You're a deep bear.
Deep bear.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I mean, what do y'all do? What's y'all's advice?
Yeah, what do you do? I do ice cream. You give the other guy gifts, or do you communicate? Yeah, let us know. It'd be nice.
So, I mean, sometimes you know, it depending on how epic the fuck up is. I mean.
Makeup sex.
So, you know, but not as much as makeup sex, but I mean, sometimes the degree of what you've done. I mean, and most guys know when they fucked up. And most guys know they're fucking up when they're doing it, but they don't, at that point, they don't care enough to do it. So, and they still go ahead with it. So, because you know, it's one of those things, it's always better to ask for forgiveness than permission. So,
okay. Better do it. So. Okay, let's go on with entertainment.
Our entertainment today is, for all of y'all that hadn't heard, Alice died on us this week. Ann B. Davis, 88, dies. Comic actress, played maid on Brady Bunch for 5 years. Ann B. Davis, the comic actress best known for the wistful, wisecracking, live-in maid, lesbian, long-running ABC sitcom, The Brady Bunch.
She's a lesbian?
Everybody thought she was. Oh. On Sunday in San Antonio. I didn't realize she was in San Antonio. She was 88. Apparently she died from a bad fall that she had. Slipped into a coma. She fell in the bathtub on Saturday.
And she can't get up.
She fell and she couldn't get up, and you know, went downhill from that. So, from 1969 to 1974, Miss Davis played the eternally good-natured, reliably self-deprecating Alice Nelson, who kept house for and dispensed cornball advice to wholesome, blended California family of eight on one of the perkiest primetime series of its era. Mm-hmm. So Brady Bunch.
Yeah. So Ann Davis, may she rest in peace.
Yeah. Well, even in when they did the remake of the Brady Bunch movies, she was in there. She, even though somebody else played Alice, she came back. She was a truck driver that picked up Marcia or somebody. I think it was Marcia because she ran away from home.
Oh.
And she was talking about, and she kind of alluded to like being a lesbian or something like that. So that's why I said that. So I don't know if she was or not. Hopefully she was, and she had a great life. So.
Okay, this one, I want to take this one.
Okay.
Because it's a Stargate movie. Roland Emmerich. Directing new Stargate movie. You know, I kind of stopped watching Stargate SG-1. I was in the middle. I haven't really finished all of them, but I really love the series. But I have yet to find
time. You got 5 years to catch up. Oh, man.
I know.
It's the longest running sci-fi series ever.
I know, Stargate.
10 years.
And I kind of stopped with the Stargate Universe also at some point. And
Stargate Universe didn't make it a season, so.
Yeah, I know. Was it the other one, the Stargate?
Atlantis.
Atlantis. That was pretty good too, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't get to continue that. But, you know, I want to do it all in sequence. Anyway, so this new Stargate reboot, reimagining, is being done with hopes of creating a new movie trilogy. Really? They're going to do it again?
Yeah.
And it's being done by the original Stargate producer, director team, Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich. Together, Devlin and Emmerich also wrote the original Stargate. 1994 Stargate starred James Spader and Kurt Russell. Oh, I remember that very well. As a scientist and a soldier... soldier who travel through a wormhole to a distant place in the universe. Their characters were played by Michael Shanks and Richard Dean Anderson in the long-running Stargate SG-1 TV series. So we couldn't be more excited to once more again partner with Roland and Dean, the world-class creators of the original Stargate, to bring their reinvigorated vision of this wildly popular property to audiences of multiple generations. Yeah. About multiple generations, because it's a long ride. It's like Star Trek almost.
Yeah.
So Stargate is one of the biggest titles in MGM's vast library, and we look forward to adding this great franchise to our slate, said MGM chairman, CEO Gary Barber. So the Stargate universe is one that we miss terribly. I want to see more Stargate. And we cannot wait to get going on imagining new adventures and situations for the trilogy. This story... it's very close to our hearts, and getting the chance to revisit the world is in many ways like a long-lost child. That is very dramatic. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. But, you know, that's what's good about Stargate. Stargate, you have this Stargate.
Yeah.
And you go through it, anything can happen. It's almost like Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm.
Quantum Leap is very similar because he jumps all the time. He jumps... and then it's always a different situation. It's almost endless situation, endless possibilities. So that's what's good about Stargate.
Yeah.
It found a formula that can be introduced just because walking into a universe and totally different thing. Not like Star Trek, Star Trek Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
You get lost, you meet an alien, and do it again. And
was kind of Stargate universe.
Well, that's more humans. But like I said...
I like Stargate universe. I thought it was a great show. I liked the whole premise of it, and I was hoping to see more before they axed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we'll see. It'll be interesting. Because, you know, the funny thing was, Stargate started off on Showtime.
Yes, it did. I remember
the original premiere of it. The chick that... I'm trying to remember what her name was. It played... that ended up being... Daniel's wife on the show You saw her boobies.
Oh, in Stargate? In Showtime?
In Showtime. So, interesting. And then when I think it was on Showtime for 3 or 4 years, and then they transferred.
Sci-fi,
yeah.
Went to sci-fi.
I picked it up, so. Okay.
This, I cannot believe he's doing this.
Yes, Nicolas Cage gets left behind. The 1995 Christian thriller novel, Left Behind, which kicked off a best-selling series about modern-day rapture, is meant to inspire audiences to ponder big questions. The first book has been recently adapted for a film for the second time, due out October 3rd, and today saw the release of its poster and trailer, which sparked many big questions. Though these were more secular, like, wait, Nicolas Cage is in this movie? And there are more. So, Nicolas Cage is replacing Kirk Cameron in the Left Behind series. Left Behind series. And, you know, Kirk Cameron went, like, super religious, and he formed this whole religious production company to do the Left Behind series. And I think they've done 2 or 3 movies. I can't remember.
I think they've done two or three, I think.
I know I've seen the first two. I don't think I've ever seen the third one. I don't know if it got released or what happened, but...
So the question is it going to be... Is it really going to be a secular...
I don't know. That's when are they going to de-Christianize it? Because, I mean, if you've read the books and you're a fan of the books, then, you know, it is a very religious thing.
Yeah, it is. Did you read them?
The whole thing, man.
Really?
All 10 or 12 books. So
you might have to tell me the summary on that one.
It's about the rapture.
I know it's about the rapture, that people got left behind.
And people got left, and the people that got left behind went through hell. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
That's somehow I thought... People were, you know, probably thinking about, you know, the Malaysian plane that disappeared.
Yeah.
And people thought it was the rapture.
I think Showtime. See, the Showtime HBO's got a series kind of like Left Behind.
Oh, they do. It's Christian also?
Well, it's not as much Christian as it is...
Abduction.
3% of the Earth's population just disappears like that. And what are these people, how does the world react to that? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that. So it'll be interesting to see. I think it premieres this month, like the 22nd or something. So anyway. So let us know what you think about Nicolas Cage taking on that role. So.
All right. So let's go to events. Okay, here's the event coming up in a couple of weeks. It's the Gator Bears. It's Bears on the River 2014 on June 20th in Gainesville, Florida. Yeah, Gainesville, Florida. So join the Gator Bears of Gainesville, Florida for our most popular event, Bears on the River. At this event, bears from all over the country come together for a weekend of events centered around tubing down the Itchtuckney. Is that right? Itchtuckney River? We rent tubes and float down the cold river in a big, friendly pile. In addition to tubing, the weekend is packed full of fun events, including pool parties, orgies, no. I just added that in. Sorry. Okay. So, pool parties, contest, a beer bust, a drag show, and of course, a night of dancing. So,
we like more... the nightlife.
So, for more info, go to GatorBears.com. It's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
All right. A gay this weekend is pretty close to home here. It's a few hours away.
Very near.
Controversial Texas restaurant becoming a highly rated gay bar. In Pittsburgh, Texas, folks.
Where is that? Pittsburgh, Texas.
It's northeast.
Northeast of Texas?
Up towards Dallas area. So.
Oh, okay.
An East Texas restaurant is receiving unique backlash on social media after a waitress told a gay couple not to return, making a homophobic remark in the process. Using Yelp and Google reviews online, activists are trying to make Big Girls Bait House and Country Store in Pittsburgh seem like one of the highest rated and most recommended gay bars in Texas. Mm-hmm. One Yelp review reads, "This place is great. You can really let your freak flag fly here." Mm-hmm. Another reads, "I'm a dude. I like dudes, and I appreciate a place where dudes can hang out together in dude company." A comment that is obvious reference to the sign on Big Girls Restaurant states that welcome to Big Girls, where men act like men and women act like ladies. No saggy pants. Mm-hmm. Colin Dewberry says he and his partner had just paid their check when their waitress approached them on the way out. And that's when she said to us, "To put it plainly, we don't serve fags here."
Oh, wow.
"I think the restaurant better learn to adapt or they will probably have to close the door soon," says Kyle, who identifies himself as a gay man. He and others in the Dallas LGBT community are planning to make a road trip to Big Earl's. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I'll be there, says Gary Burns. There's no reason not to just go and embrace these people, to love them and hug them and say, we're human beings too.
Aww.
And Big Earl's restaurant says they're ready for them. If there are any problems, they will be taken care of appropriately, says Christina Cheney, who's Big Earl's daughter and the waitress who made the homophobic remark. We are aware that they are attempting to come out here. We're ready for them. We have informed the sheriff's department and the state.
What are they going to do?
And while Big Earl says they have received an influx of new customers since the news came out, they should expect a new crowd in Pittsburgh, especially with reviews like this from Bubba on Yep. Well, the food isn't all that good, but this is still the best gay cruiser joint in Texas. I picked up several dates here. All the very handsome, very gay men. I hear the owner offers discounts to men and chaps.
Brilliant. Oh, my God.
So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out.
Maybe we should go there during TBRU. You know?
Maybe. So, mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, let's go to the geek. This is something that Ray picked, which I think is awesome. We're almost there.
Almost there.
Dutch scientists achieve quantum teleportation breakthrough. We may not have Star Trek-esque transporter technology anytime soon, or ever, maybe. But Dutch researchers this week reported a breakthrough in the quantum teleportation of information. I think I remember this article before. Not this article, but this was a study that was done before. So opening the door to a potential revolution in computing and networking. So scientists at the Delft University of Technology, Kavli Institute of Nanoscience, managed to transfer information contained in one quantum bit or a qubit to another entangled qubit about 15 feet away, without the information having traveled through the intervening space. Professor Ronald Hansen, head of the research group, wrote in a summary. In other words, as Hansen noted, teleportation. So the Dutch researchers reported that there was no degradation in the information transferred between the two quantum bits, potentially a major advance in the pursuit of quantum teleportation. In the past several years, other scientists around the world have devised ways to better measure the information contained in qubits without altering them in the process, and managed to teleport information instantaneously across distances as great as 90 miles. It's a great idea for technology, for data. Imagine that if we use this technology right now to transfer, you know, packets, internet packets like this, and that would be even faster than any.
I don't know, think about how many downloads of pirated TV shows you could watch, man.
Oh yeah, it would take seconds.
BitTorrent seconds.
Probably as a second, just once. Yeah. So we, when you're able to transfer that much data, it may be fast, but then you have to kind of buffer it, and you know. You have a way to buffer it, and I don't think hard drives are fast enough to
write that. But it's a start.
It's a good start. See if you can do this. Well, they did say about teleportation, but because right now they can do it with data. We're talking about a molecule here or a particle being transferred here. So,
but I mean that's basically what teleportation is. I mean the whole Star Trek system is basically they take you or whatever, break it down into basic matter, shoot it to somewhere, and reconstruct it.
Yeah.
So it's basically teleportation. But think if this gets good enough and fast enough with the 3D printers that are out, and as that technology grows, that we will have
replicators. Replicators is a device in the Star Trek universe. Starting from when? Star Trek Next Generation, right?
No, they were in the original Star Trek. They just had data things they put in and they popped the food out. Yeah, it's all replicated.
Oh, they did it there too.
But I mean, it's one of those things then that like mass, like ships and stuff could like keep the stuff stored on land, and when they need it, they could replicate it in on sea or, mm-hmm. you know, submarines could be completely refreshed without or restocked without having a surface or some of the other application, or if you need parts and you're at sea and you could have the part transferred to you.
Or if the technology is even mature enough, parts they can be transferred to the moon if you're making a base in the moon.
If you're making, you can transfer stuff that way, long distances. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Or if you got a package, you know, depending on whether it has to be organic or not, inorganic, and you need it in London right now. So you're on there.
That'll beat the drones, right? The Amazon
drones. Amazon drones. So, yeah. Anyway. So it'll be interesting to see how it eventually falls out. But
you know, to be realistic about it, I would expect it to be applied on data transfer. Yeah. If they can do that, oh my God. All these 4G, LTE, HSPA Plus and everything. Yeah, that's not going to matter
anymore. Imagine if it could be used for cell technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. For 4G and the LTE. All right. This, why did you pick this one? Because it's got a penis in the title? Is that what it is?
Yes, it's bizarre.
Okay, let's go bizarre.
This is your people.
No, it's not.
They're Asian. It's all
well, they're neighbors. Fine. Yeah. Okay.
Malaysian man comes up short after buying a $100 penis enlarger online, but gets a $5 magnifying glass for warning, do not use in sunlight.
Oh, God. Such gullible guys. Okay.
So, a vain Malaysian man who ordered a penis enlarger online was stunned when the device was delivered, a magnifying glass. To add insult to injury, the magnifying glass came with instructions that would at least prevent the man from causing injury to himself. It read, do not use in sunlight. The victim of an elaborate scam, which cost him the equivalent of £100 £5 for a magnifier, has been named as Ong. Is that how you said Ong?
Ong.
The chairman of Malaya's Customer Complaints Bureau, Mr. Senior Michael Chong, told Star Newspaper, as you can imagine, he is feeling rather disgruntled, said Mr. Chong. The deflated, embarrassed customer has not come forward to reveal who ordered the penis enlarger from. The unfortunate gentleman is just one of many who have fallen victims of these kinds of misleading scams, Mr. Chong said. Men and women equally vulnerable to these scams. These three people lost a total of more than 15,000 pounds to scams this year alone.
Oh, my God.
Online strictures said they lure the victims by selling their products at a low price, and very often the items never get to their customers. Oh, excuse me. Lawyer Alex Koch said that the unsatisfied customers who wish to sue online criminals would find it difficult to do so due to the dubious nature of the business. It is especially hard if there is no proof of purchase, such as receipts. We wouldn't know who to sue and where and how to sue them, he told the paper. So use Amazon is what Amazon's saying.
Use Amazon. So you just missed something there.
What?
The lawyer Alex Koch.
Oh, did I say it wrong? Koch. Oh, I don't know. Alex Koch.
Get it? Koch. Oh.
You know. So make sure you're buying your stuff from reliable sources, as always.
Well, sometimes, I haven't had a really bad experience with Amazon. Are there penis enlargers in Amazon?
Amazon has everything, I'm sure.
Oh, did you see that on Facebook about people with it? Groupon? Groupon was selling pocket pussies?
No, yes, I did see that.
Yeah.
Was that true?
So it's true. So I guess it is true. So Groupon was selling all these pocket pussies. And people would say, really? Groupon? Pocket pussies, you're selling it? And then at the bottom it says, sold out.
Uh-huh.
So the question is, really, men? Guys, you really made it.
You know, sold sometimes out, really? Your hand, just something different than your hand is better, you know.
So, it was funny when I read that.
You're riding home from work, driving, you can do the pocket pussy.
Pocket pussy. I've never used one.
My favorite pocket pussy story is on Blue Mountain when the kid.
Oh, the Blue Mountain High. When they were sharing
the pocket pussy. Of the pocket pussy. It's hilarious.
Somebody stole my pocket pussy. Oh my God, I remember that. It was in a brown paper bag. It's being passed around.
And they passed around. A bunch of people got STDs from it and all kind of stuff. And there's this whole thing about him fucking his pocket pussy before the game so he could win and all this kind of stuff. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
And the guy who had that was the one who played Aquaman in
Smallville.
Smallville.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's a thug there. And then he's
whatever pays in bills.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he's good looking anyway. All right, so before we go, let's do some shout-outs, some happy birthdays.
Happy birthday to DeWest, who's our local broadcaster here in Houston on late nights.
Oh, Wes.
Wes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll put West. I don't know why I did that. Typing too fast, I guess. Or correcting me, one. Mm-hmm. To Alan B. here in Houston. He's part of our little rugby team. To Adam. And also to Mr. Johnny the Stalker.
Johnny the Stalker. Happy birthday.
Johnny, we'll see you at your party on Friday.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, Tim G from Down Under.
Yes.
So happy birthday, guys.
Tim from where is he? He's in Melbourne? I can't remember. When we were in Australia, we thought of meeting with him, but we were in Sydney, I think, and he was in Melbourne.
So I think he's in Melbourne. Yeah. I think y'all are on different coasts.
Yeah, different places. All right, so I guess that's it for the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have comments about our topics about the relationship and
or how you feel about pocket pussies.
That's right. Okay, so yeah, email us at show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a call at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. And leave us a voice message. Shut up, Maynard. And leave us a voice message, and we'll play it on the show. So if you're jacking off on your pocket pussy, you can record it and send it to us, and we'll play it on the show.
Yes, that's right.
Perfect. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes. Yes, and subscribe by iTunes. You can also leave a review there on iTunes. And subscribe by YouTube and Vimeo. Also, you can listen to the show on Bear Radio Network, on the Roku Player, and also on Stitcher Radio. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we will catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. And wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
Hello, 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 my darling.
How many minutes? 7 minutes. Okay.
What, are we still on 420 or is it 421?
421, no. 521.
520, okay. So, whatever. Oh, sounds like pizza's ready.
Okay, pizza's ready. So, we'll be back.
We'll be back.